Good morning, folks. You're all very welcome this morning, and anyone that is visiting with us this morning is equally as welcome, and I hope you feel God's presence within this place. And to those that are out in solid ground having a wee cup of tea while they listen to us this morning, you're equally as welcome, and hopefully you will feel God's presence out there as well. Please do read your announcement sheet. As we always say, things do change in it, and it is important that you just cast your eye down them and see what's happening in the week ahead. But just to highlight a couple of things. On the 16th of November, there is a tear phone quiz within this place. It's up on the TV there at the minute, actually. So if you've, I think there's quite a few of you quite brainy. You're all laughing. But hey, get yourselves together with a wee team and come on down. It will be good crack, and I think it's going to be well organized. And at the end of the night, I do believe that you're going to get a dessert as well. So that sounds promising. So on the 16th of November, if you are free and you don't want to watch Strictly, come on down to Trinity here, and we'll get you a place. And even if you come on your own, we'll fit you into a team. There's no problem. Okay. The ladies that are going to the retreat on January to the Slieve Donard, if you have any remaining money to give in, please could you see Karen Lawson or Diane McCracken today about that and get that sorted as soon as possible. TAP is this Wednesday. I would encourage you to come along to that. It'll be up in the upper room. And I would, as I always say, prayer is the foundation of any church. And corporately, if we're together in prayer, things will move, things will happen. And I would encourage you to come along to that, whether you pray quietly or outwardly. It doesn't matter. God hears all prayers. And when we're together in prayer, then it amazing things can happen. There is prayer updates out there. The November prayer update, if you didn't get it last week, is out there. Please do take that and make use of it. There's also the Let's Pray documents that I put out there every week. They cover the whole Presbyterian Church and all the different missionaries and ministers and youth workers and community workers. There's prayers in there for them all. And if you have a prayer time in your life and you want to make use of that there, please do take one of them. I would love to see them being lifted rather than me having to throw them in the bin every week. So please do make use of them. I find them a really useful resource. And on the 17th of November, I'm really hitting you with prayer this morning. Communion will be in the morning on the 17th of November, but in the evening there will be a prayer service here in Grey Abbey. And I would encourage you to come along to that. I will be speaking at that, and I don't encourage you just to come along because I'm speaking at it. But I feel that God is wanting us to come to that because God can do amazing things through prayer, and if you take an opportunity just to come along to that service, and we'll see how God can move in all of our lives. Okay, I think that is me. I want to open, and I haven't even got the verse that I was going to do, but here we go. First Chronicles 29, verse 11. Let us open our service this morning. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom, and you are exalted as head over all. Let us stand and let us sing how great is our God, the splendor of a king, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice. How great is our God. Let us stand and let us really worship God this morning with this wonderful hymn. Let us just bow our heads in prayer. Let us come to God. Creator God, we glimpse your beauty in the setting of the sun, in the mountain tops and in the eagle's wings. We sense your power in the crashes of the thunder, in the flashes of the lightning, and in the roars of the ocean. Creator God, we praise you. Precious Jesus, we see your love stretched out upon a cruel cross. We stand in awe at your sacrifice, pure love poured out for humankind. Precious Jesus, we praise you. Holy Spirit, we see your power in lives transformed, hearts on fire. We listen for your still small voice, comforting, guiding, calling. Holy Spirit, we praise you. From the moment we wake to face the day ahead, you are with us. Through good times and bad times, your presence enough for our needs. Every day we will praise you and extol your name forever. Through the hours of the day, in our travels and work, you are with us. In decisions we must make, your wisdom enough for our needs. Every day we will praise you and extol your name forever. As we lay down to rest at the end of the day, you are with us. As we lay our fears at your feet, your peace enough for our needs. Every day we will praise you and extol your name forever. Lord God, your love for humankind present in the beginning of all things extends throughout history and touches all of our lives. Your love sees feelings and forgives. Your love feels pain and wipes away our tears. Your love knows grief and comforts the sorrowful. Your love sees sin and loves the sinner. Forgive us when we fail to live that lives that reflect your love. Forgive us the many times when we take for granted all that you have done for us. Transform us through your Spirit and empower us to serve you this day and all days. God of all ages, who from generation to generation has heard the cries of your children, humbly seeking forgiveness, and has welcomed sinners back into your embrace. Hear the thoughts of our hearts, examine our motives, forgive us our faults of word and action. And we ask us, through your Son who died, that we might know the true cost of forgiveness. Father, as I was driving up from Kalaki this morning, I seen the rainbow in the sky, and it reminded me of the promises that you have made, promises that will never go away, promises that will be there for eternal life. So, Father, we lift it up to you now, and everyone this morning, we want to lift and praise this place and worship you as a God that truly deserves everything that we give to you. Mighty God, we hand this service to you this morning. May you surround it and be with it. In Jesus' mighty and powerful name, amen. Okay, we're going to sing again in the lovely hymn, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of the Spirit, washed in his blood. Let us stand and sing this lovely hymn.
Heir of salvation.
I just want to invite Paul to come up now. Paul is a first-year ministry student at Union Theological College. Paul is here with his wife for Rwanda, and you might get to meet them later on. But before Paul starts, I just want to pray with him again. Father God, we know that this is Paul's second time of doing this this morning, and we just pray that you'll give him strength. You'll pray that you'll guide him and give him courage to speak your word mightily this morning, Father God. And we just pray that you would lift him up, Father God, and move mightily through him in this place, so that we go out of this place knowing, Father God, that we have met with you in a mighty way. So, Father, we lift him up to you now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome as we join together in worship. As Norman said, my name is Paul Bradley. I'm a first-year ministry student from Milan, and I look forward to spending time with you in fellowship this morning. And our scripture reading comes from John chapter 10, verses 7 to 10. John chapter 10, verses 7 to 10. You can find that on page 1076 of the Pew Bible. John chapter 10, verses 7 to 10. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate, and whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Amen. May God bless this reading of his word. We continue in our worship as we bring to God our offering. Father in heaven, we come to you today because you are the great giver. You have given us your love and mercy, kindness and generosity. You have given to us our talents and abilities, our life and our strength. And we are taught in your word, Father, that if we would be your sons and daughters, we must also become givers. So, Father, help us to give ourselves to you fully and completely. Help us to give ourselves in ministries of mercy and helpfulness to others. And Father, please accept our gifts as our offering and bless them that others around the world might come to know you and your love. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our next item of prayer this morning is a hymn that is based on Psalm 118, verse 24, and it reminds us that because of the grace of God, we are saved, and in everything, we should show our thanks and rejoice in the Lord always. Let's stand together and sing hymn, I Will Enter His Gates. Join together in prayer. Let's all pray. Loving Heavenly Father, how blessed we are to be here in your presence today. And Lord, we praise your almighty name and we thank you for the privilege of being here worshiping as a family. And we pray that we can bring glory to you in all that we do. Father, forgive us when we fail you. Forgive us when we don't put you first and when we fail to live our lives in a way that honors you. Father, we thank you that we can always turn to you and for the amazing gift of your grace, even when we don't necessarily deserve it. Father, let us take a moment to remember those who are missing from the congregation this morning. We pray for those who are sick and we ask that you place your healing hand upon them. We seek strength for the weak, comfort for the downhearted and rest for the weary. Father, come alongside them and give them the hope and strength that they need. It's during these cold months, Lord, that the vulnerable in our community need our thoughts and prayers. Let us keep them in our minds and we pray for their well-being. We pray, Father, for our children and those responsible for their education. We pray that as half term finishes, that our teachers and assistants and our children can all benefit from the break. Refresh them, Father, and build them up. And we pray especially for our P7 children who are doing their AQE in the coming weeks, Father. Such pressure for those so young. We pray that they know they can lay their worries at your feet and that their lives are not defined by the performance over the next couple of weeks. We know they are precious to you, Father, and we pray that they can recognize their importance in this world, that they can recognize your unique purpose for them outside of their academic achievements. We recognize, Father, that there have been challenging times for our nation. We are still living under the umbrella of political uncertainty with no sign of a resolution coming easy or anytime soon. We pray, Lord, that the people who have been given responsibility for our nation can be guided by your hand. We have seen the past 2 weeks the outcome of our leaders failing to speak on our behalf, and we pray for our nation, Lord. We need you now more than we ever have. We pray for the political leaders in Parliament and for those who are invested in power sharing in Northern Ireland, that you guide them and give them the wisdom to achieve successful outcomes, that the success and well-being of all your people is the driving force behind their actions. We pray for those who are grieving, Lord. The weight of losing someone you love can often be too much to bear. We pray for everyone crippled with grief, and we ask that you comfort them, Father. There's so much darkness in our world at times, and as our headlines focus on the tragedies of recent days, we pray for your comfort, Father. Not only for those that have lost their loved ones, Father, but we pray for everyone whose lives might be touched by the evil of human trafficking. It's not something that happens somewhere else. It happens everywhere, Lord. Lives are not to be bought and sold. And we ask, Father, that you step in and guide those who are working to put an end to this awful crime. So, Father, as we read your word now, Father, we ask that you would imprint it on our hearts and our minds and in all that we seek to do, so that we can glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to start off this morning by telling you a short story. A little boy who lived far out in the country in the 1800s had reached the age of 12, and he had never in all his life seen a circus. So you can imagine his excitement when one day a poster went up at his school announcing that on the next Saturday a travelling circus was coming to a nearby town. So he ran home with the fantastic news and the question, "Daddy, can I go?" And although the family was poor, the father sensed how important this was to the young lad. So he said, "If you do your Saturday chores ahead of time, I'll see that you have the money to go." Come Saturday morning, the chores were done, and the little boy stood by the breakfast table dressed in his Sunday best. His father reached down into his pocket and pulled out a dollar bill, the most money the little boy had seen or possessed in all of his life. The father cautioned him to be careful and then sent him on his way to the town. The boy was so excited, his feet hardly seemed to touch the ground all the way. As he neared the outskirts of the village, he noticed people lining the streets. And as he worked his way through the crowd so he could see what was happening, and lo and behold, it was the approaching spectacle of a circus parade. The parade was the grandest thing this boy had ever seen. Caged animals snarled as they passed. Bands beat their drums and sounded their horns. People performed acrobatics while swirling flags and ribbons overhead. And finally, after everything had passed where he was standing, the traditional circus clown with floppy shoes, baggy pants, and a brightly painted face walked to the rear. And as the clown passed by, the little boy reached down into his pocket and pulled out the dollar bill and gave it to the clown. He then turned around and went home. So what had happened? The boy thought he had seen the circus when all he had actually seen was the parade. And this morning, folks, I want to ask you this. Are you experiencing all that God has for you in your life? And in our reading earlier, Jesus said, "A thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly." And the Christian life, it can be an invigorating adventure and an exciting journey. Many people, including some Christians, seem to be content to live out mediocre lives, never really reaching their potential, but just settling for second best. But do you want that abundant life that Jesus promised? Do you want to live life to the fullest? And it's important here to point out that the abundant life, it shouldn't be confused with the affluent life. And some people think of happiness in terms of possessions, wealth, popularity, good looks, which I was clearly blessed with. You can all fill in the blanks there. But the reality is, our Savior had very little of the things that this world considers valuable. Christ didn't find happiness and joy in the mere possession and control of things. And in our reading today, these words are from the lips of Jesus himself, and they should be rooted deep down within our hearts and minds so that we're reminded over and over of God's purpose for our lives. And Jesus is affirming in this reading his own concern for us and his desire that we experience more than a mere existence. The Christian life is meant to be a feast rather than a famine. God means for our lives to have multitudes rather than few. So why is it that many who profess Jesus as Lord, we fall short of that abundant life? Is it because we have a false concept of what the fullness of life is? Or is it because we simply expect God to hand us everything on a silver platter simply because we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior? An abundant life, it comes to those who commit their lives to living like Christ. But what does that look like? To live an abundant life, we need to have a genuine faith, to put our trust in God. I, for one, can sympathize with this because I used to put myself first ahead of others. But thanks be to God, I've experienced transformation in my soul. And the key was developing a habit of learning to trust God at all times, in everything, in every area of my life. And trust me, folks, I stand here as living proof that if you trust in God, he will transform your life. You won't know this, but I used to be an extremely shy person. And my wife down here would even say reclusive. But now I stand here before you as a ministry student, speaking in public at every given opportunity to glorify God. And I look back and I'm amazed by the transformation in my life. Trusting God is as simple as believing that he loves you, knowing he's good, he has the power to help you, and that he really does want to help you. And as Christians, we're called believers, but often we're more like unbelieving believers. We trust our friends, we trust the bank, even the government more than we trust God and his word. And in John chapter 15, verse 5, Jesus says that apart from him, we can do nothing. We need to lean on him for help with everything in our lives. And sadly, nowadays, a lot of people, they go to church, they hear what they should be doing, but then they go home and they try to tackle everything on their own. They usually end up coming before God in despair, telling him how they've been trying to do what they need to do, but ultimately they left him out of it. But God wants us to put him first in our lives. He wants us to put our confidence and trust in him all the time, in everything. And I used to have a really bad habit of only really trusting myself. And I formed this habit throughout the years of trusting people, getting hurt, and feeling like I couldn't trust them. I thought, if you want something done right, you've got to do it yourself. If you don't ask anybody else, they can't hurt you. But this just kept me from trusting God. And in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 6, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths." So when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Spirit of God comes to dwell within you. This means that you don't have to go through anybody else to get to God. The Spirit dwells within your heart, and you can learn to hear his voice. And the best way to hear from God is knowing what the Bible says. God's word gives us wisdom, and as we study it, our mind is renewed. So we no longer just think the way the world thinks. We can think the way God thinks. We have to habitually study the word to really have confidence in God and know we can hear him and trust him. And as we spend time reading and meditating on scripture, we develop a strong spirit. We can hear God speaking to our heart and make decisions based upon what he's leading us to do, not just what we think, feel, or want. And when you go beyond what you want, what you think, and what you feel, and do what the Word and the Spirit of God tell you to do, you're able to develop good habits and break bad ones. You come to a place where the blessings of God, his righteousness, his peace and joy, they overflow into your life. Life is simple and peaceful when we come to God like little children and say, "God, I don't want to live on my own. I want to trust you. When I don't know what to do, I'll trust you. When I don't understand why, I'll trust you. I'll do my part, and with your help, when I'm done, I'll trust you to do the rest." Abundant living, it also comes to those who live a life of prayer. And I know this is an area a lot of people struggle with. And prayer is much more than bringing a wish list to God. It's a precious experience of dialogue between a loving, trusting child and a generous and wise Heavenly Father. The needy child brings his or her needs and aspirations to the attention of their Heavenly Father. And the Father is way too wise to be in error and too good to do his children harm. God will always grant our request in a manner consistent with his nature and character. Praying with God, it helps keep us connected with him, and is our ongoing connection with God that enables us to experience the kind of life that Jesus died for us to have. In John chapter 15, verses 4 to 5, it says the following: "Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." The more we're intentional and staying connected with God through prayer, the more it demonstrates that we are dependent upon him to meet our needs and to live an abundant life. As we continually acknowledge our need for him, we are likely to remain humble. And being humble sets the stage for God to give us more grace and a life of happiness. Abundant living also comes to those who live a life of obedience. The true sheep of our Lord hear his voice and follow him in a life of loving obedience. And there's no substitute for obedience. And there's no joy in the life of a person who is disobedient. If you would find the abundant life in the here and now, it will be in the pathway of obedience to God as he seeks to keep us from evil and lead us in growth and ministry. Today's the day for obedience. oh wait, that doesn't work for me, I'm washing my hair. Well, what about tomorrow? Oh, sorry, my car is being fixed. Obedience is a funny thing. You either are or you aren't going to be obedient. And our many excuses range from almost understandable to silly. But no matter what the conclusion is to failing to adhere to the direction God is sending, they all fall under the same category of excuses. God wants to transform you more and more into Christ's likeness, but he won't force this upon you. If you're passive about your relationship with him, you can't expect to grow. God's looking for an invitation from you. He wants you to show him you're very serious about a relationship with him by being willing to follow him wherever he leads. Only then will you experience his transforming power. Don't look for life anywhere else but in a relationship with Jesus Christ, whose life is the light of humankind. He reveals God the Father to us. We need to understand that everything necessary to create, sustain, and transform our lives flows through Christ. His Spirit working in us is the Spirit of the perfect child towards the perfect Father. Just as Christ laid down his life, decide to lay down your own life. Sacrifice your own agenda. Embrace God's plans for your life. Trust in that in doing so, you will open yourself up to a better life that you could ever hope to live on your own. Abundant living comes to those who live a life of giving. Those who are selfish in this world, they may possess many things, but this will not mean that they are enjoying the abundant life that our Lord came to provide. The reality is, the more selfish people are, the less they will truly experience God's blessings. Only those who learn the joy of giving will experience the joy of living. And this is true in the business world. It's true in our marriage relationships and in our spiritual journey with God. And Rick Warren, in his book, Purpose Driven Life, he says the following. Jesus came to serve and give. Those are the two things that will bring more happiness in your life than anything else. They will define what it means to follow Jesus. If you're not serving, if you're not giving, then you're not following Jesus. It's very simple. We all know this verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. What motivated God to sacrifice his Son was not a sense of indebtedness or obligation. It was the love for us that compelled him to give what he had in order to meet the most pressing need. God desires that as we grow in our relationship with him, we become more and more like Christ. If love for others was what prompted God to give, then should it not be our primary motivation for giving as well? With spiritual maturity, we should become less attached to our possessions and more concerned with meeting the needs of others. Jesus is the answer to finding true happiness in life. He is the only one who will never betray, hurt, or disappoint you. He does not accuse you, nor does he condemn you. He took care of your sins on the cross, and he is the bread and living water from heaven. We are all created by God, and we're all created to have fellowship with him. There's a special bond between God and his children, and this can never be fulfilled by anyone or anything else but by God himself. Jesus, the Son of God, has reconciled all of us to the Father. He is the only source of our true happiness. You might have everything, but without Jesus in your life, you'll always be empty. Our souls will never rest in peace unless we're reconnected back to God. So to answer the question, how to find true happiness in life forever, this is directly related to your relationship with Christ. When you trust in God, your relationship with your family will get better and stronger. You will know your purpose in life. You won't need the many idols in your life. So call upon the Lord during trials in your life, and he will fill your heart with love, grace, joy, and peace. Happiness is truly a gift from God, and in him only can it be found. So rather than searching for fulfillment in other things, seek God. Make Jesus the center of your life, and happiness will surround you forever. He that handles a matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusts in the Lord, happy is he. That's Proverbs chapter 16, verse 20. And there's many articles on happiness online that give you tips for finding inner happiness. Some will tell you, think happy, think positive, make more friends, pursue new interests or hobbies. Some will tell you to find happiness within yourself, do yoga or meditate. But from personal experience, I can assure you that you'll still be looking for true happiness. It's only Christ that can fill that void within our hearts. How to find true happiness? Trust in Jesus. Remember, God wants you to be fully happy. He wants to see everyone fully alive. And once you put your trust in Jesus, pray continually, live a life of obedience and a life of giving, your whole heart and being will then know what abundant living is all about. So folks, make a total response to the Lord of life and love. He wants you to experience that abundant, fulfilled, happy life. Don't be satisfied with a fractional response, because the measure you give will be the measure you get. Let's pray. Lord our God, you have given to us the glorious gospel of our risen Savior and Master, Jesus Christ. And we ask, Father, that you grant that as we joyfully receive the good news for ourselves, so we may gratefully share it with those around us who are lost. Father, help us to live out your purpose for us in our lives, so that we may always bring glory to you, by whose grace alone we are saved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our closing item of praise is of great encouragement, and it reminds us that Christ is our joy, our righteousness, and freedom. And through his steadfast love, his deep and boundless peace for us, only through him can we live a fulfilled, happy life. He is our only hope of eternal salvation. Let's stand together and sing, "Yet not I, but through Christ alone." My joy, my righteousness and faith. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all forevermore. Amen.